Okay, this is Community Connection. I'm talking to Brian Moody, the executive editor at AutoTrader.com. So, and you are at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, Nevada. How are things going at the CES?
Lots of cool stuff, lots of interesting tech. Some of it automotive, some of it just transportation oriented. Delta Airlines is actually showing quite a several pieces of interesting tech that will make flying easier or at least more reliable and convenient. So that's kind of cool, but there's also lots of automotive specific technology as well.
Okay, so what is new in automotives at the Consumer Electronics Show?
Well, here's one of the cool things is that Sony, you know, the manufacturer of cameras and TVs and that kind of thing, Sony actually built a car. And this is a concept car called the Vision S. Now, we don't think that Sony is actually going to sell a car to the public, but what they did was, in an effort to say, hey, look at how many places these Sony products go, and the car is filled with screens, cameras, and sensors, all, of course, Sony products. And those are all things that the kind of the car of the future needs, because those cars need to see around them to let you know, you know, how to navigate traffic or parking or that kind of stuff. But they also need those sensors and cameras and screens so that the car can act on its own if needed. So, for example, emergency braking and that kind of stuff. That would all be done through cameras and sensors. So Sony built a car, and it actually looks kind of cool. It looks like the combination of a Tesla and a Toyota. Renault actually has something called the Connected Dash, and what that is it would be a way of you accessing some of your home features, lights and maybe the front door and, you know, package delivery, that kind of stuff, and you would get notifications and be able to control some of those things right from the dashboard of your car.
So if somebody rings your doorbell at home, you'd be able to see them through your nested doorbell
home. That would be one perfect application, and that doesn't seem so far-fetched. That's probably something that will come. On the other hand, the thing that we're not sure about is Hyundai is showing a flying car in partnership with Uber. So it would be an unmanned, automated, point-to-point flying. I mean, it's basically a plane. But, you know, short trips, small cabin, that kind of thing. Not sure how close to reality that is, but they did build a prototype, and it seems like it could happen.
Does it work? Is it a working prototype? Because I've been looking for flying cars. I've been looking for flying cars since the Jetsons.
Right. Now, in theory, it could work. I think what the concerning part is the unmanned thing. So I think that's probably going to need a lot more testing.
Okay.
But let me tell you something that I think is cool that, again, seems futuristic that probably will happen. The company Bosch has something called the Smart Sun Visor. And what that is you know how the sun visor in your car, you flip it down, it blocks the sunlight, but it also blocks your view.
Right.
Well, this would be a completely see-through sun visor, and it would have face recognition technology. It would see where your face is, and it could actually darken some of the panels inside the glass, only those that are covering your eyes, so that you could reduce eye strain but still see all around you.
Wow. And while we're on sun visors, let me ask you this question. My wife is very short, and the sun visor never works for her. Are they expanding the sun visor to work for short people?
Yes. So here's why that would work in that situation, too. Because it's not a solid piece of plastic or leather or something, it can be bigger. So because it's completely see-through, it doesn't have to be small. Like now, it could actually come down you know, pretty far toward the steering wheel, because it's only going to darken those areas that are covering your eyes. And when I say darken, it won't be completely blacked out. It will be more like the tint of sunglasses. And
oh.
Then you could most likely set the level of darkness that you want. I think what's going to lead to is it will end up, they'll just build a windshield that does that eventually.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Are we seeing more, I guess the touchscreen is here to stay?
Yeah, and I think that's why we see Sony building a car, because they're showcasing some of their, you know, their displays, and there's going to be more and more displays inside cars. Features like Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, and you know, the just the apps that are built into the car all require or at least work better with a screen. And so I think we're going to see bigger screens, higher quality screens, even in cars like Kias. The screen's pretty big already, so that will just continue.
Okay. What is the best use of electronics in a car that you've seen for 2020?
The best useful?
Yeah, best and most useful.
Oh, that's a big word. Because a lot of times these things are like, oh, that's fun, but then you don't see a practical. My personal opinion is that the most useful piece of technology that we're seeing right now are two things. The more broader diversity of electric cars, not just small hatchbacks and that kind of stuff, so
okay.
Performance cars and trucks like Rivian, and also wireless Apple CarPlay. I think that's a very practical feature that you can get in a few cars today, but you know how these things go. It will always end up becoming in more and more cars. So having Apple CarPlay in your car is amazing. Having it wireless where you don't have to connect the cable or worry about your cable going bad, that's actually very useful.
Okay. All right. So autonomous cars, are they making are they everywhere?
Yes. I prefer to use the word automated because if you think about the word autonomy and autonomous, a real autonomous car would do something like this. You would punch in the coordinates for take me to work, and a truly autonomous car would say, I'd rather go to the beach and just take you to the beach because that's, you know, it's thinking on its own.
And it knows where you want to be.
Well, that's where the car wants to be. It's autonomous. It
yeah.
doesn't need you. It's just going to go, I'd rather go to the beach.
And that's where you want to be, at the beach.
So, yeah, exactly. That's where you want to be, too. It knows that about you.
Yeah.
But automated features like steering, we're seeing that more and more. What these cars are going to start using is artificial intelligence. And what that is it learns your habits and it knows what you're going to do next. It knows where you go. It knows at what time of day you go there. And I know that can sound a little bit creepy, but just imagine that your car knows that you drive to work at every time this day, or you drive to church every time on this one day of the week, and it can tell you the best route, where to park, and what roads not to take. So artificial intelligence would take the navigation system, for example, and it would raise it to the next level. Artificial intelligence would know that on certain days of the week at certain times, school gets out, so don't go down that road.
Mm.
And that's the way that it would remember your favorite places without you having to enter them. It would remind you, hey, you like this coffee we're driving by. Do you want to stop and get some? That kind of stuff.
Do we really need our cars to tell us, oh, the coffee shop is right here and you like the Frappuccino?
No, probably not, but it's a thing that they can do. And I think what's going to come, and you can probably see this for yourself, is what will come next is that they'll find a way to monetize that. And you know, they can sell you the ads or they can give you a discount. Imagine if you were driving by your favorite coffee place and you know that it's there, but now the car knows that it's there. And when the car knows it's there, they can say, hey, this is your favorite coffee place right here on the street. I can also find you a 10% off coupon. Would you like to go get coffee?
Hmm. Okay. How is the new generation, I'm going to say, autonomy in cars? How are the sensors much better now than they were in 2019 or 2018?
Yes. And I think that the idea of having those cars on the roads where you and I can buy them is still decades away. But it isn't about the technology. The cars can do it. I've ridden in a self-driving car in Japan from Nissan. It navigated the freeway. It got on and off the exit. It did a U-turn. It did all of these things completely on its own. So it isn't about the car being able to do it. It's more about the infrastructure of the cities, the roads, the liabilities, and who you're putting behind the wheel outside of a controlled situation. So the cars can do it. I think what's more likely is that in the coming decades, what you're going to see is these automated buses and shuttles that will run on a predetermined virtual track, and it won't deviate from the track. Imagine an airport shuttle that's unmanned.
Mm-hmm.
It will just take the same route back and forth every single time, and it will stop for other cars, and it will stop at red lights. But the idea of you buying a car and pressing a button and it drives itself is probably still decades away.
Okay. All right. We've talked about the smart sun visor. Are there any other innovative safety features in cars that are coming out?
Yeah, you know, there's one that we're starting to see more of, and that is the rear seat reminder. Have you ever heard of this thing where it will tell you if you forgot something in the back seat?
Oh, okay.
I think it was born of some of these terrible stories that we saw about people leaving their pets or children in the back seat unattended by accident. And what it does is it reminds you to look in the back seat. Some of them are even so sophisticated that if you don't press a button and say, yes, I looked, or yes, I dismissed, when you walk away from the car, if it senses movement in the back seat, so say you left your dog back there and you somehow forgot that your dog was there. I don't know how that could happen, but let's just say that it did.
Right.
Then the dog starts moving around. It will alert you either through an app on your phone, or the horn will start honking and the lights will start flashing, and then you go out there and get your dog and avoid it being in a hot car kind of thing.
Wow. Okay. What about...
That's already happening on Kia and General Motors cars and many others. So that's a feature that you can already get, or in many cases, it's just included. You don't even have to opt for it.
Okay. Are we seeing new features where the car can recognize that the driver may be drowsy or impaired in some way?
Yes. What it can do is it senses erratic driving, and it senses it can monitor your face and say, hey, you need to take a break, that kind of thing.
Okay.
We're not to the point yet where it can sense impairment in terms of, like, maybe if a person was drinking and driving. That's probably coming, but that takes a lot of data points to, you know, to make that happen. In the meantime, we'll see safety features like exit warning systems. That's one that we're seeing on Hyundais, where as you're about to step out of your car, it will warn you saying, hey, you know, something's coming, whether it's a bike or a motorcycle or a car, so that you don't just step out into traffic. And then on the more practical side, Hyundai has this thing called the Remote Smart Parking Assistant, where you can pull up to a parking space and your car can park in that space without you being in it. So say the space is too tight for you to open your doors, you can step outside the car and use a remote and guide your car into this space. Maybe even it's your own garage, it's very small. And then you can also use that remote to back the car out without you being in it. Then you open the doors when there's plenty of space and drive off.
You know, that sounds very practical. I'm not sure if I could trust it, though.
Well, if something steps in front of it, it will stop. If you're doing it wrong and you're about to run into the side of your garage, it will stop. So some people have cars that are garages that are technically two car, but really they're very small.
Right.
Or even some of those old single garages that were built for carriages way back in the day. The car can technically fit, but you can't get out once you're in it. So this could be perfect for that kind of thing, where you could park your car in the garage and walk away, and then you back it out the next morning.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about cars interfacing with our phones now. Let me tell you, my daughter has a 2016 Ford Focus, and she was in a head-on collision on the highway. Before she even realized what happened, the car was already dialing up 911 and requesting emergency services.
Isn't that great?
That is the greatest thing ever, as far as I'm concerned. So, and I've told everybody about that. Are we seeing more information being transmitted by the car to 911 in case of emergency?
Yes. If you think about maybe 10, 20 years ago, we had OnStar, and that sort of did that kind of thing. It was a concierge, a driving assistant. If you went off the road, it would call 911 for you, that kind of thing, or if there was an accident. But now we're seeing that becoming a lot available across a lot more brands. And basically, it's because of app technology that would exist on your phone or your smartwatch. One of the ones that we think are the best at Auto Trader, and we've seen this, you know, firsthand, is the Genesis Intelligent Assistant app. Genesis is a luxury brand of Hyundai. And what this does is it includes all of those things that you just said, but it can also lock and unlock your car from a distance. It can start the car remotely. It can adjust the temperature before you get in. It can update your calendar. It can tell you commute times, recommend gas stations. And, of course, it can, you know, contact roadside assistance or 911 in case there is an emergency. In addition, it can use Amazon Alexa for you to give commands. So it's taking the idea of the 911 assist and the OnStar type thing and taking it kind of to the next level.
Okay. It's good to know that technology is there and that it's being improved. What about electric?
You know, what's important about that is that in your daughter's case, when you first get the car, and people should know this, when you first get the car, Ford does have that feature on a lot of their cars, but you have to enable it to begin with. It won't do it automatically. You have to say at the beginning when you first get the car or whenever you set it up, do you want 911 assistance? And you have to check the box that says yes inside the car. Otherwise, you know, it might not happen. So just be, it's interesting to be aware of the technology and how it works, because it can work for you, but you do have to take some steps in some cases.
Oh, okay. All right. What about the electric vehicles? Was there an electric Mustang there at the consumer?
Yeah, there's so many electric cars coming, and I think that the interesting thing about electric cars is that we're moving away from the sort of like small kind of dorky hatchbacks and efficient cars to now we're seeing a lot more high-performance electric cars. Porsche has a new all-electric car. Fisker has a new all-electric SUV. You know, Rivian has a new truck and SUV, and Mustang has the Mach-E, which is obviously, if you're going to call something a Mustang, you know it's going to be a performance car. Otherwise, they wouldn't have called it that. So we're seeing this transition from electric cars of being sort of like the, you know, the sort of automotive curiosity to becoming a little bit more mainstream and giving people what they want, which is high performance and that great feeling of instant acceleration, but in a familiar package, which is the Mustang. I think that one will probably be very successful, but there are many others, and there's other Nissan Leaf, that kind of thing. But even Nissan is showing a test EV in Las Vegas, and their test EV prototype has a lot of high-performance features now. And remember, Nissan first introduced the Leaf. It was all about efficiency, low price, and range. Well, now I think they're going to end up moving more toward the performance end of things. Imagine having an all-electric Nissan GTR that had the performance of a Corvette but was completely electric.
Wow.
That's probably where it's going.
Really? Okay. What about charging times for electric vehicles? Are they getting shorter?
You know, that's one of those things that, like, you don't hear about much. And the truth is, the longer the range, the more charging time you're going to need. So when you hear about these cars that have, you know, 250, 300, 340-mile ranges, that's great and that's convenient, but it's going to take time to charge those cars up. The one exception is Tesla. They have their supercharging stations, and I've used them. They do work. It does fill the car up quickly, or it does return the charge pretty quickly. But that's not everybody. If you're charging it up at home on a regular standard outlet because you didn't want to pay for the home level 2 charger, it can take 10, 12 hours or more to get a full charge. So the bigger the battery, the more charging time it's going to take.
Okay. All right. And so electric vehicles are moving more from that box to a more luxury standard?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that who kicked that off was Tesla.
Okay.
I don't think people really realized that, myself included, that people would be looking for a high-performance, luxury, high-priced electric car. I think everybody assumed, and I think reasonably so, that people who looked for electric cars wanted a low-priced, small, efficient type of car. And then Tesla came along with the Model S and said, what about this? And people just went crazy for it. So now you see a lot of new all-electric cars, the Jaguar I-Pace, the Porsche Taycan, you know, these are electric cars that offer performance. The Fisker Ocean, the Rivian truck and SUV, but more performance-oriented versus just the Nissan Leaf, which is has a lot of great range, but arguably it's not a high-performance car.
Okay. Did Jeep also have an electric Jeep at the?
What Jeep has is something that's called e-Torque. And what that does in some Jeep and Ram vehicles is it gives a little bit of an electric boost right off the top when you first take off, and that could be really helpful for towing or off-roading. So the Jeep Wrangler with e-Torque is a way of incorporating, it's like a mild hybrid system, so there's some electricity in there boosting the performance, but it's not running fully on electricity yet. Although there is a Chrysler minivan that has a plug-in hybrid, and that means that it can run on electricity for a certain period of time, and then when that's over or it's depleted, it switches over to a regular hybrid, meaning it combines gas and electricity.
Oh, okay. Are there a lot of hybrids out there, or are there new hybrids?
There are increasingly a large number of these plug-in hybrids, the Toyota RAV4 Prime, the Toyota Prius Prime, the Lincoln Aviator. There's even a Land Rover plug-in hybrid that goes for a certain distance on electric only, then switches over. Those are becoming popular. I think they're probably going to be transitional, and eventually we'll just separate into, you know, all electric or gas only and hybrid. But the plug-in hybrids are a way to do it right now.
Okay. All right. Well, we've come to the end of our time with you, Brian. Thank you for your input
today. Thank you so much.
Our guest today on the Community Connection has been Brian Moody, the executive editor of AutoTrader at AutoTrader.com. He's reporting from the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, Nevada. That's going to do it for today.